We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Tabernacle of Praise with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
First off, I just want to thank y'all for letting me speak today. And I would like Aaron to put up a picture for me on the little TV. It doesn't want to do it for you. Of course it doesn't. Blah. No, it's because it's me. Like, I can prepare everything. I had a speech at the Kennedale Historical Society the other day, and I had all these pictures, and I'd even prepared interviews on a video. And the last time I'd spoke for the Historical Society, they didn't have the right technology. Mine was older than theirs. So this time, I put everything on a flash drive. Everything was saved because the time before, not only was my technology older than theirs, but I was relying on the fact that I figured City Hall would have Wi-Fi, right, in Kennedale, because it's a big town. That's a joke. anyway, but they did have Wi-Fi, but my stuff wouldn't hook up to the Wi-Fi, and my stuff was older, so the cords didn't match. So this last time, Sarah can attest, she went with me. I had everything on a flash drive. Everything was saved to this drive. I brought an old and a new computer with different ports just in case. I had everything saved, and then it wouldn't load. So everything I do, if it has anything to do with technology, it never works. And that is why I printed this out. But I had yay, see? There's my picture. So that's good. We're all happy now. Okay, I just want to pray really fast, if y'all pray with me, because I'm kind of nervous. Lord Jesus, I ask that you bless this lesson and you bless the people here. Lord Jesus, let me say only the things that you want me to say, and don't let me say anything you don't. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Okay, your scripture for the day, if you have your Bible, and you should, is Revelation 3:20, and I will wait for you to get there. Brother doesn't have his Bible. Praise the Lord, Joe, you can have mine. Praise the Lord. The Holy Word of God. We'll just wait till he gets there. Revelation's in the back of the Bible. It's the last book. Joe's over there in Genesis. I just want to help him out. I roasted church. Okay, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. That's our lesson for the day. My scripture and my lesson is called Standing at the Door and Knocking. The other day, Pastor Don said something that I thought was interesting. He said, if God shows up, are you answering the door or looking through the peephole pretending that you are not at home? I started to think a lot about this because a long time ago, I saw a picture, like a vision in my head. I don't know if that's what a vision really is, but like I've had two in my life and they've been very, very vivid. And one of them was this. I saw a picture of Jesus in my mind. And in this picture, Jesus is at the door, just like that famous painting like that. Okay, there's lots of versions of this picture, but it basically looks like that. Anyways, in this picture in my head, Jesus is knocking at the door, but I don't answer it. And then it starts to rain, and I still don't answer it. And then in my vision, it's just pouring, and Jesus is drenched, and there's like water running off his nose, you know? Like, I really wish I could have gotten like a video of this so y'all could see what it looks like in my head. Water's just like running off his nose. His hair is all stuck to his head, okay? He's drenched. His robe is sticking to him, and I still don't answer it. And then in this picture in my head, night falls, and he's still standing there, drenched, and I don't answer the door. Why don't I answer? The reason I don't answer the door is because I'm not ready, and I know it. And the sad thing is he just wants to come in and eat with me and be my friend. Sometimes people come to the door and I hide. I know you guys don't do this, but I do. I also do this at the supermarket. Sometimes I hide simply because I don't feel like saying hello. It's not that I don't like them. It's just that I'm tired and I don't want to smile. And I don't want to try to make a conversation where you know there isn't one. You're like, hey, what are you doing? Getting some groceries. Yeah, me too. You know, it's just stupid. It's pointless and it never goes anywhere. So I don't even want to do that. So I just like go behind the next aisle. I just want to be left alone. This is admittedly kind of selfish and it caters only to my feelings. But then I wonder if they feel this way, I'm doing them a favor. Because once I lock eyes with you, I got to say, hey, okay? And you have to talk, even if you have nothing to say. So the thing is, as long as they don't see you, or as long as you don't see them, or if you don't see each other seeing each other, you're still cool. So you just gotta keep your eyes down and quickly get behind the clothing. You know, and I don't know if y'all do that, but I do. But Jesus is standing at the door, and he's knocking. Jesus, and he knows I'm inside. The question for today is, God knocking on your door, and are you looking through the peephole pretending you are not at home? So I started thinking about this idea. Sometimes I don't want to open the door because I know that my house isn't clean. When Aaron and I first got married, I did not know his dad very well at all. In fact, I'd only met him one time before the wedding. We went over to his house. They had steak. I remember this vividly because we had golden Yukon potatoes, and they were yellow. And I remember thinking, ugh. But they were good. But anyway, after we got married, so I met him that one time. I met him at the wedding. And then after we got married, he would just pop by. Okay, he would always call before he came, but this was before cell phones. So he would go to the convenience store literally right around the corner. And he would call and say, hey, I was thinking about stopping by. And I'd be like, oh, okay. But then I found out that whenever he called, he was literally at the quick stop, which meant he was not even a block away from our house. So after this first one or two times, every time he'd call, say, hey, I was thinking about stopping by, I would just totally panic. And I would go through the apartment, and I would take everything that was dirty, and I would like get all the laundry and all the dirty dishes, and I'd throw them all in the dishwasher really fast and shut it, and I'd take all the laundry and throw it in our bedroom and shut the door. I would whisk the dishes out, everything. I would spray cleaner throughout the apartment because when Jeff was a baby, we did cloth diapers, and it always stunk really bad, even when things were clean. Okay, so, and there was never time to vacuum. So you would just kind of quickly gather it all up, shut the door, and hope for the best. There wasn't time to polish things. I would brush my hair and then kind of act like, I'm just sitting here, right? Oh, hey, good to see you. Okay, then he would arrive, and even though things were picked up, he would run, I am not even kidding you, he would run his finger along the tops of things to get dust. Not just the tops of furniture, but the first time he did this, he walked to our bedroom door on the top of the casing of the door. And he ran. I am 5'2". Even on my best day, I would never clean up there. And he is like this tall, big man. And he run his finger across the top of the door frame. And I thought, oh, my gosh. You know. And he would open the door of the bedroom. And there would all the laundry be on the bed. I'm like, and I would be deflated, thinking how I failed as a wife and as a mother. And so a little later in our marriage, I came up with this really ingenious idea. I won't say it, so it's a trick. But Aaron used to come home too. And Aaron would come home from work and he would do this. So, what have you done all day? And even though I stayed home with Jeff and Sarah and did all the housework and cooked all the food, and let's just state that the house was never dirty. It was just really kind of cluttered because you have two kids. And my attention span is really quick. Like, it's really small. So I start stuff, and then I stop. And then I go do something else, and then I come back, okay? So anyways, I don't get a lot of stuff done in the order that other people get it done, okay? So I realized that if the living room and the kitchen were kind of sort of cleanish, and dinner was cooking, it was okay. And ladies, lady at the United Pentecostal Church years ago told me this. If you got nothing cooking, put some butter in the pan, throw an onion in, looks like you're cooking and everybody's happy. So that was already a trick I knew. If an onion is frying, you're good. So that was already something I was employing, utilizing, if we want to use a good word there. I was already utilizing that trick. So, but here's the one I came up with, and I think it's pretty good. You can't copyright this because I already, you know, came up with it. I realized this. If you put Pine Sol on a rag and you wipe down the door frame, it smells like you've been cleaning. Yes. Or if you mop and you mop with lemon-scented Pine Sol, you should throw the dirty water on your walkway into the house because, voila, the front porch smells clean. Everyone can smell that you've mopped before you even enter the house. And if I did this, people walk up the walk, they're like, you know. And Aaron would walk in the door and he'd go, you've been cleaning. Either way, whether I threw the laundry in the room and shut the door, or whether I wiped the Pine Sol on the door frame, the house wasn't really clean. It was just presentable if you didn't look too hard. Jesus is knocking on the door. Your house is still dirty, even though you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, wiping Pine Sol and things. And he's still there. Sometimes when people knock on the door, the house is clean, but you cannot open the door because you have to hide things that these people won't approve of. When my kids moved into their own house, I would call before I visited because more than once I got to the house and they were running around trying to mask smells with air freshener. I'm just going to take a drink of water here. Because when I wrote this, Sarah wasn't going to be here. So I'd call up and they would be running around opening windows and turning on fans and spraying Lysol. The stupid thing is, A, the house still smelled. B, in the winter time, no one has all the windows open. So that right in and of itself is a dead giveaway that they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. And C, they forgot and left the pipe on the table. Okay? Well, hello. The thing is, hiding is never successful. It's embarrassing. And it got to be where I would just joke with them because I thought, there's no way they can really believe that I'm this naive. Jesus is knocking at the door. Are you afraid to open the door because you're busy hiding things that he already knows are there? He's still knocking, and he already knows, and he is still there. Sometimes I can't open the door because I'm trying to get rid of company that's already there. When I was in high school, if I couldn't go out, friends would come by my window. Joe, plug your ears. Because you don't need any ideas. This was always a bad idea because it's pretty hard to act nonchalant if you're caught outside of someone's window. Especially if you're someone the parents don't approve of. If my parents would come to the bedroom door and my friends were there, I had better hope that I heard my parents approach or that they would knock, which they never did. Otherwise, they would know that I had company at the window and that they were a bit on the unsavory side, and my grounding would be extended even more indefinitely until I could prove, and this is the quote, that I could be trusted, which was never. Jesus is at your door knocking, and maybe you want to open the door, but you're afraid he's going to see that you already have company of which he does not approve. But Jesus is still there. He knows about your company, and he is not leaving. Sometimes it's vanity. I just don't want people seeing me at my worst. Someone's knocking at the door, and this always happens on a Saturday. I just woke up. My hair is a mess, and I'm in a t-shirt, and I don't have any makeup on. And my eyes are like little slits in the morning. Like, I can't really even open them. And Aaron, I mean, this is true. Like, I'm like this for the first hour that I'm awake. And Aaron does this thing where he sings this song. Because Aaron is a morning person times 4 million, okay? So Aaron, pops out of bed. And he's like, and he'll come up behind me in the bathroom. And I'm trying to, pry my eyes open to put contacts in or something. And Aaron will get me by the shoulders and go, baby woman, she's a baby, she's a woman, she's a baby. It's so annoying. So I'm like this. And people come to the door. Okay, and my little eye slits and I'm scowling. In fact, I don't even get the scowl off for the first half hour of the day. And I can't form a smile and I can't really talk. And, I don't know, at my school, the little kids, I say they're little, they're high schoolers, they call it resting bee face. And bee rhymes with witch. So there you go. And they're like, Colum, you got a resting bee face. Well, I have even worse than that in the morning. It's like, oh, she's possessed face. And the first hour I'm awake, my voice is lower. So I look bad. I sound bad. I don't want to see you. Okay. Of course, after a half a pot of coffee, I'm amazing like this, right? Nevertheless. Sometimes vanity does keep me from answering the door. And I would answer the door. I really would. But I can look so much better. They should just come back an hour or two into the day when I look the way that I want to look. When I look the way that I want, I know if I have some time, some coffee, I could look. I want them to see me the way I would prefer them to see me. But the problem is that Jesus is standing at the door and he knows exactly what I look like. And he knows that I'm there and he knows that I hear him. And he just keeps on knocking, just like in my vision. You see, the problem with me opening the door is that I'm afraid that Jesus wants to be with me, but that he wants to be with the houses clean and sparkling, smelling like Pine Sol, no dust on the bookcase, no pipes on the coffee table, company gone, face fixed, hair perfect, everything all in place, me. But Jesus is just knocking on the door because he wants to come in and eat at my table with me, the real me, and I just cannot fathom this. I think that Jesus wants to visit. So then I started thinking about my friend Sheila. When my kids were little and Sheila's kids were little, we would just sit at the table, watch the kids, drink coffee, talk, and eat dates, okay? And we would take the sweet of the dates with the bitter of the coffee, and we would enjoy the day. So when Pastor Don said something the other week that got stuck in my brain, it all kind of came together for me. He was talking about Acts chapter 3. So go to Acts chapter 3 if you have your Bibles. Joe, that's in the New Testament. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. The point of Acts chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Was that although Peter and John didn't have exactly what the man was asking for, they had the only thing that the man actually needed. Because then they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Okay, and then they tell the guy to get up and walk, right? But I got stuck at the phrase, lame from his mother's womb. Because what that phrase means is that he was crippled from birth. He was crippled from the very day that he was born. He had lived with his deformity. He had tried to hide his deformity. He had tried to dress up his deformity, and he had tried to pretend that it wasn't there. He'd even tried to exact sympathy and alms because of his deformity. In other words, he was exactly like me. Here he was at the gate of the temple, or if you want to think about it this way, he was at the door. And really, Jesus was coming to knock. And we're all like that lame man. We're all crippled from birth. The Bible says in Psalm 51 and 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22 says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. What these scriptures are saying to me is that we are all born in sin, basically from the moment that we enter the world because of the fall. And because of this, we're going to be imperfect. We're going to be crippled from our birth. We're going to have one handicap or another. We are all, in a sense, crippled from our birth. And if you can imagine it, we're all sitting next to the door, just like the man in the story, and we're all waiting for help. And here comes our help. He comes and he knocks. And he wants to be our friend. He wants to eat with us. He wants to help us. Psalm 121 and 2 says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So here's your help. Here he is at the door. Hopefully it's not raining like in my vision. Hopefully you answer the door. He isn't going to give a crap about your house not being clean. He's not going to give a crap about your house smelling funky or the fact that your friends are no good. And he won't make any nasty comments because you don't look your best. Romans 8, 1 through 39 or 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The crazy thing is that he wants to come in anyways and eat with us. He wants to take the bitter with the sweet with us. And this blows my mind because he is high and he's lifted up and he's the King of glory. He's the most majestic. And the thing that kills me is he's standing at the door and he's knocking and it's raining and I don't answer it. And it's getting dark and I don't answer it. And I know he's there, the King of glory, and he serves me. And I can't imagine that. Luke 22 and 27 says, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. The Lord Jesus Christ is better than you, but he's going to serve you. He's going to get down on his knees and serve you. Philippians 2 and 7 said, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He did all that for you. Now he's out there at the door right now. And he knows your inside. And he knows all about you. And you can't hide it. He already knows. So the question is this. Are you going to answer the door? He's just going to stand there. You got to think about it. That's all I got.
For more information about Tabernacle of Praise, look us up online at tabernaclepraise.org. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with our Facebook page. We also have a free app that you can use to keep up with events or be notified of bad weather, and you can listen to our sermons directly from the app. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.